Welcome to the Lord's Day on May 3rd, 2020. Let us pray with Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and sheep of His hand. Amen. As we are in the middle of a COVID-19 global pandemic, I find a striking similarity between the Passover narrative in Exodus and the current situation. So I have picked four women characters around the Passover story in the Bible. For past 4 weeks, we learned of what important roles women play in God's saving work fulfilled in Jesus Christ and applied constantly by the Holy Spirit upon Christians and their homes, churches, and communities. By the same stream of thought, I identify five main figures around the Passover narrative. They came to the forefront of God's saving work by His covenant plan. During the five-part series on Adam's offspring, we visit each character one at a time: Levi, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Today, we deal with Levi in two titles. First, special qualifications, and second, special gospel. Let me read the selections from the Bible regarding the Levi, the priests. First reading comes from Genesis chapter 34 and 25. 3 days later, when the men were still sore from their circumcision, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, the brothers of Dinah, took their swords and went into the city without arousing suspicion and killed all the men. 27. After the slaughter, Jacob's other sons looted the town to take revenge for their sister's graves. 49 verse 1. Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around, and I will tell you what will happen to you in the future." Verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. They use their weapons to commit violence. I will not join in their secret talks, nor will I take part in their meetings. For they killed the people in anger, and they crippled the bulls for sport. A curse be on their anger because it is so fierce, and on their fury because it is so cruel. I will scatter them throughout the land of Israel. I will disperse them among its people. I move on to Numbers chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring forward the tribe of Levi and appoint them as servants of Aaron, the priest. They shall do the work required for the tent of my presence and perform duties for the priests and for the whole community." 12. Levites are now to be mine. When I killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians, I consecrated them as my own, the oldest son of each Israelite family, and the firstborn of every animal. 35, verse 1. Numbers. In the plains of Moab, across the Jordan from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites that from the prophecy that they receive, they must give the Levites some cities to live in and pasture land around the cities. These cities will belong to the Levites, and they will live there. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. These are the blessings that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the people of Israel before he died. Verse 8. About the tribe of Levi, he said, "You, Lord, reveal your will by the Urim and Thummim. Through your faithful servants, the Levites, they will teach your people to obey your law. They will offer sacrifices on your altar. Lord, help their tribe to grow strong. Be pleased with what they do. Crush all their enemies. Let them never rise again." We move on to New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are the chosen race, the king's priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. This is the word of God. Amen. First, the special qualification of Levites for the job of priesthood. The series begins with this question. What's so special about the tribe of Levi for that tribe to qualify to the honor and privilege of priesthood and not the rest of 11 sons of Jacob, other tribes? At least the two ironic qualifications. First, because the Levites are specially violent. In the Genesis account, Levi, along with his older brother Simeon, we have just read, were known for their temperament, ready to use the violent means to get their point across to the other, full of vengeance. When their sister Dinah, in a visit to the town, got raped by the Shechem, the privileged son of Hamor, the chief of the region, the two conspired the plan of making the whole townsmen to be circumcised as part of a peacemaking deal, then taking up the swords in disguise and murdered all the men in the town. This is the first recorded incidence of ethnic cleansing in the Bible and is perpetrated by the God's own covenant people. In the meanwhile, the rest of brothers, taking advantage of a town's vulnerable situation, plunder the whole town and capture the grieving women and children to the slavery at their service. The brothers justify their asymmetrical vengeance to their father Jacob on the family's special status as the chosen family. It has an eerie resemblance how the colonial powers of the West, of which majority of them deeply rooted in Christian heritage, committed horrendously violent acts, ruthlessly seized the natural and man resources at the expense of indigenous peoples in and from Asia, Africa, and America. Christians were so immune to the practice and insulated in their thinking. David Livingstone, one of the most renowned missionaries in the 19th century, after his death, people inscribed his motto on his statue at the Victoria Falls in Africa: Christianity, commerce, and civilization. With all his good intention for the combination that he hoped would form an alternative to the slave trade and restore dignity to the Africans, it still captured the sad legacy with which generations of Christians and the world to come have to wrestle. Second, their second qualification is the special curse cast upon their own father. Obviously, their violent propensity had not been forgotten by their father, Jacob. On his deathbed, he gathered around the children, leaving their future prospect for them. It came to pass, Levi and Simeon. His last word was full of venomous indictment, seemingly. Their swords are weapons of violence, killing men in their anger, crippled bulls for sport. A curse be on their anger, fierce and cruel. They will be scattered around in the land of Israel. Their cursed state, cast upon none other than by their own father, put them in a very special category of being cursed. Imagine that your own father left that parting words on his deathbed to you. You wish he just died in silence. The guilt and despair, it is worse than being disowned by your own parents. How would you handle it? How could you overcome the trauma of curses? Now we move on to how this special gospel designed for the special people reveal how God restores these unqualified people to a holy nation of a priesthood, the job. First, God is given for the special people with the special needs, gospel. I mean, by this time it is evident that God's choice of Levi for the sacred job of priesthood did not follow the expected course of criteria by the conventional norms and wisdoms. The Levites are the least qualified tribe for their sacred work. As if God knew our befuddlement, He accentuates this unqualifying qualification, then no one can miss the point. He chose the union from Amram and Jochebed, their three children, Aaron, Moses, Miriam, to bear three important offices in the Bible: priest, king, and prophet. Bible mentions the unique nature of their marriage. Both of them are from the same tribe, Levi. Then no one can doubt that God is zeroing on the tribe of Levi, not a mixture of any other tribes, just Levi. All three offices are inaugurated by the pouring of the oil on the head, from which the word Christ and Christians originated, which literally means anointing, being set apart to perform for a specific task and role. Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth, declares, God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise, chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on, despises, and thinks in nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. Why this choice of people with such an undesirable quality? Paul continues, this means that no one can boast in God's presence. Second, gospel is given for special people with a violent disposition, with a violent task in three areas. First area is the tabernacle. The church is one example. Levites are chosen for the duty. They are so good at it. Not in their usual arena in the streets or of town, but at their courtyard of a tent in the presence of God. Their job is to violate the life by butchering the countless animals of a sacrifice for the whole community. They personally witness the every day, and it's their responsibility to show to the congregation every week and every occasion the congregation bring their sacrifice, how God has sacrificed His own Son and consecrated His own Son on behalf of the people and their sins, to redeem their sins, free them from their bondage of guilt and cursed consequences. Gospel in essence is a violence performed at the Son of God for His covenant people, exacted the unimaginable cost of pain and sufferings to every person in the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Church is where people witness, experience how Jesus Christ died, risen, and alive for the sake of them, unworthy cause, people with unworthy qualifications. The second area of a violent task is community. It begins from family home. Levites are chosen for the duty to kill the sins in the family and neighbors. At the instance of a golden calf, idol worship, Exodus chapter 32, verse 25 and following writes, Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get out of control and make fools of themselves in front of their enemies. So he stood at the gate of the camp and shouted, "Everyone who is on the Lord's side, come over here." So all the Levites gathered around him, and he said to them, "The Lord God of Israel commands every one of you to put on your sword and go through the camp from this gate to the other. Kill your brothers, your friends, and your neighbors." The Levites obeyed and killed about 3,000 men that day. Moses said to the Levites, "Today you have consecrated yourselves as priests in the service of the Lord by killing your sons and brothers, so that the Lord has given you his blessing." This horrible scene is actually the backdrop of Jesus' enigmatic charge to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 and following. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I did not come to bring peace, but sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughters against their mothers-in-law. Your first enemies will be the members of your own family. Those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their sons or daughters more than me are not fit to be my disciples." How to love God then? John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." To receive and give this love to your loved ones tops over all other acts of love. Listen very, very carefully, my brothers and sisters. If it were not for the Jesus' redeeming work on the cross, that we may at times resort to the violent means in the name of bringing good, as the Levites did in ancient times, but Jesus did away with any form of abuse. So he sternly rebuked at any attempt by the disciples with a violent means. "Put your sword back in its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword." Paul, in a letter to the Ephesians, says, "For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness. So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We never let our guard down in our battle against the sins and evil forces at work. This work has to begin from our closest relationship, our marriage, our parenting, our siblings, home, and family. The ultimate goal of this fight is to bring our family members, my wife, my husband, my brothers, my sisters, and my friends, to the tent of a meeting, the courtyard of the tabernacle, to personally experience and witness the redeeming work of Christ and meet Jesus, the Savior, in person, enjoy the abundant life everlasting. Third area that you need to apply the gospel violently is your own heart. Moses knew exactly how God's people should apply the gospel, cutting to the facade of liturgy and tradition and superficial law-keeping. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and following. "And now," Moses said, "O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." The Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. And he said, "Circumcise your hearts. Circumcise your hearts." I repeat again, circumcise your heart, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. Do not be arrogant. Do not be arrogant before the Lord and toward the people. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Each morning, we need to perform the fresh heart surgery to bring us back to the knees, to the tent of a meeting, with a humble reliance of Jesus' redeeming sacrificial work in our daily repentance, turning away the sinful thoughts and actions and habits. Repentance is the beginning of your joy rejoiced. Repentance, a beginning of your praise reclaimed. Third, gospel is given to violently transform the curse to a blessed missions, to a blessing of missions. The most notable curse by their father Jacob cast upon Levi was their being scattered and dispersed in the land, like the fate of Cain, restless wanderer. And at the plain of Moab, before Moses died, true to the prophecy, God had ordered Moses that Levites would not take part directly in the promised land as a gathered people in one gathered place. Instead, the rest of the 12 tribes designate the towns and surrounding pastures from their allotted promised land plan for the Levites to settle in 42 towns dispersed evenly, and 6 towns, one in the land of Canaan, and the other as 3 on the Transjordan area. 6 towns added as the cities of refuge, and Moses bestowed the Levites with a blessing. From each town Levites were to live in, they will keep teaching the people in the surrounding neighbors about the law of God, offer the sacred duty of a sacrifice to the altar. God had transformed the look like a curse to a mission of a blessing. Why did you move? Why did you immigrate? More often, we immigrants, as we moved to the new town, new place, felt like being cursed, denigrated to the permanent margin. But God has called you to play the role of a peacemaking agent in your new place, in your new job, in your new neighbors, in your new church, in your new country, in your new area. And this church be the city of refuge. Apostle Peter seconds for this mission. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 says, "From Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's chosen people who lives as," listen, "refugees scattered throughout the provinces. You were chosen according to the purpose of God the Father and were made a holy people by His Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be purified by His blood. May grace and peace be yours in full measure." Gospel radically continues with His violent act of surprise. The letter S, chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are the chosen race, the king's priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to perform the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into His own marvelous light. At one time, you were not God's people, but now you are His people. At one time, you did not know God's mercy, but now you have received His mercy. You and I are called out from the world because we are special. because we are specifically qualified with the special needs that only this special gospel particularly designed, performed, and applied by this special Savior God, Jesus Christ. He only has a remedy to bring us to wholesomeness, even make the people of kingly priesthood out of us, the special needs people. Let us keep repent and receive this special gospel on this special Lord's Sunday. Amen. May this grace be upon you throughout the day, throughout the week, beginning from your heart, to your family members, to your friends and neighbors, and to your church who is waiting for dearly for this prophecy to be fulfilled in you, through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.